Like to turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 33. Book of Exodus, chapter 33. We'll read verses 18 through verse 23. And he, that would be Moses, said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he, the Lord, said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a clift, a cutout of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. In this chapter, in Exodus 33, we see God and Moses communing one with another. And here in verse 18, Moses pleads with God, show me thy glory. Now we get a better understanding of what Moses requested in this prayer when we consider the background. Back in Exodus 24 and verse 12, you remember Moses was invited by God to go up to Mount Sinai. There he would meet with the Lord. He would spend 40 days and 40 nights in that mountain with God. And we read in Exodus 24 and verse 16, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai. During that 40 days and 40 nights, Moses personally experienced the glory of the Lord. In Exodus 32 and verse 15, Moses came down from Mount Sinai. And when he did, he saw the Israelites lewdly dancing and worshiping the golden calf that they had made. So here's Moses, spent 40 days, 40 nights in the presence of God, communing with God, in harmony with God, personally experiencing the glory of the Lord. And he went from there to the scene at the bottom of that mountain with the Israelites worshiping the golden calf. The sadness, the dissatisfaction, the setback, and the letdown that Moses experienced at that time is almost unimaginable. He's gone from one extreme to the other. And on top of that, he is now faced with the intimidating fact of leading this people. This people who have rebelled against God. So Moses has personally experienced the glory of the Lord. He is seeking assurance of God's presence when he leads the people of Israel. He is seeking God's guidance and help in leading this people. And what he prays in verse 18 is, Lord, show me thy glory. What I need is what I've already experienced. What I need is what I experienced upon that mount. Show me thy glory. Now, God's glory is the outward expression of his inner being. And all through the Bible, anytime God shows his glory, it's always veiled because man could not stand in the presence of such. And God makes reference to that in our text. God's glory is the sum total of who he is. You and I only understand a very small part of who he is. His glory is the sum total of who he is. It was that when Moses said, show me thy glory, it was as if he said, Lord, I want to know everything about you. I want to see, I want to experience the fullness of who you are. I want to be as close to you as I can possibly be. Show me thy glory. He is praying, Lord, make your beauty and your magnificence visible to me. Make it obvious to me. He is praying, Lord, display yourself. Lord, reveal yourself to me. Make yourself known to me. Make yourself plain to me in such a way that I will see and feel your person. Show me thy glory. That is a yearning of love. Again, these are the words of someone who has already tasted the goodness of God. And he wants more. He's already experienced the person of God. And he wants more. These are the words of someone who knows enough to know that he can't ever get enough. And he wants as much as he can get from God. In verse 19, the Lord assured Moses that he would do so. He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. In other words, you will see my sovereignty. He added in verse 20 that this glory would have to be veiled because no man could see his face, his nature, and the glory of it, and live. He is saying, Moses, if I showed you all of my glory, it would kill you. You could not live in the presence of such. But he added in verse 21, behold, there is a place by me. And then he went on to say to Moses that Moses would stand upon a rock. And that while Moses was standing upon that rock, the glory of God would pass by. God would put him in a cleft of the rock. And he would veil Moses so he could experience the glory of God. We want to take the thought of the message from the Lord's words in verse 21. Behold, there is a place by me. And that is our subject. There is a place. There is a place. I want to first of all consider When God said, "Behold, there is a place by me, a place where Moses could see the glory of God," we want to see that this is a very special place. "Show me thy glory." God answers, "Behold." Again, a word that is used when something of great significance is about to be said or of great consequence. He says, "Behold, there is." And may I say, there still is. "Moses, there is a place by me." A place that speaks of a very particular place, that speaks of a very specific place. He is saying, "Moses, I will grant your request. Show me thy glory." But there is a place where I will grant that request. There is a place. You can't see my glory anywhere else. But there is a place. There is a place by me. There is a place speaks of something very distinct. Speaks of something very real. There is a place. And may I say, it is a place of God's providing. It is a place approved and accepted by God. "Behold, there is a place." There is a place of shelter. There is a place of safety. There is a place of security. There is a place. There is a place of blessing. And we see that from our text that this place is near to God. There is a place by me. A specific place in which you will receive your request to see my glory. It is not a place afar off from God. It is a place by me, next to me, near to me. Verse 21, "It is upon a rock," this place. "Moses, you'll stand upon a rock, and I will put you in a clift of the rock." Psalm 91, if we turn there, I believe we see that this place is God Himself. In Psalm 91, in verse 1, "He that dwelleth in the secret place," the hiding place, "of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." That's what God told Moses. He said, "There is a place. You'll stand upon a rock. I'll put you in a cleft of the rock, and my hand will overshadow you." That's what Psalm 91 is talking about. "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge." God is that place. "He is my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." This place, this special place, is none other than Jesus Christ. It is the most special place, the most extraordinary place in all the world. There is no better place than Jesus Christ. Whatever your spiritual condition is at this very moment, whatever your circumstances are at this very moment, whatever your needs are at this very moment, you need to hear God say, "Behold, there is a place. There is a place where I will meet your needs. There is a place where I will bless you. There is a place where you can experience God. There is a place." Those words need to be in our minds every single day. There's a place. And if there is a place, such as we're going to describe, then we ought to endeavor to be in that place every single day. There is a place. It is a place where we ought to live. It is a place that ought to be our way of life. Again, notice in Psalm 91 and verse 1. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place. The psalmist is referring to the individual who lives in this place. So not only is there a place, this place is Jesus. He's the rock. He's the cliff of the rock. He's the place. There is a place. This place is Jesus. But this place, Jesus, is accessible because we can live there. Because we can dwell there. There is a place. And whatever my circumstances are, this place is accessible. And I can dwell there. This place is Jesus. Again, he that dwelleth in the secret place. To dwell is to reside. There is a place where I can reside. To dwell is to continue and to remain. There is a place that I can not only enter into, there is a place where I can continue. There is a place where I can remain. Jesus is that place. It is a place where I can be settled. God, Jesus being the God-appointed place, said in John 15 and verse 4, abide in me. To abide in Christ is the one that we read of in Psalm 91 and 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place. To abide is to dwell. Jesus says, abide in me. Moment by moment, day by day, in ordinary life, at this very moment, and at all times, there is a place. There is a place where the rich blessings of God flow. There is a place where the child of God can dwell. A place where the child of God can live. There is a place. And it needs to be our way of life. You consider all the varying circumstances of life. And we need to hear those words. There is a place. There is a place. God says there is a place by me. And then we need to hear Jesus say, abide in me. There is a dwelling place. There is a place of accommodation for the child of God. There are needs. There are cares. There are burdens. There are distractions. There are difficulties upon difficulties. There are problems upon problems. But never forget, there is a place. And God says, this place is near me. Jesus is that place. Whatever the circumstances, God has provided a place. A place where you and I can find strength. It is a place of durability. It is a place of shelter. It is a place of safety. In this place is everything I need. Doesn't matter what your circumstances are. In this place is everything I need. There is a place. Oh, how we ought to praise God that those words are still true today. There are sorrows and heartaches and distresses, situations that are overwhelming. There are trials, there are tribulations, there are pressures. But God says, listen to me. There is a place. There is a place by me. And that place is Jesus. And I can dwell there. There are temptations, but there is a place where I can flee to in temptations. And may I say, if we dwell in this place, we'll just about eliminate our temptations, if that's where we dwell. There is a place. There are temptations, there are clouds, there are storms, there are desert places, there are empty places. But wherever we find ourselves in one of those places, we need to hear God say, there is a place. There is a place by me. There are battles to be fought. There are struggles. There are obstacles. There are hindrances. There are barriers. There are valleys. There's crooked roads, rocky roads. But wherever we might find ourselves, we need to hear God say, behold, there is a place. A place provided. A place where I can abide. This world is sinful. This world is wicked. It's twisted. It's corrupt. You listen to the news and it's unbelievable how twisted people are. And yet I hear that voice, there is a place. There is a place. This world is corrupt. It's vile. This world is depraved. And as we've said many times, it's not going to get any better. This world is full of ditches. It's full of traps. It's a place of enmity toward God. It's a place of hostility toward God. But in the face of all of that, there is a place. God says there is a place by me. And that place is Jesus. And it's a special place. It's a beautiful place. It's an influential place. It is a place where I can dwell. It is a place of special experiences. It is only in this place that I can experience what Moses was requesting, the glory of God. In the cleft of that rock, we see that Moses, God said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. It was in this place, in the cleft of the rock, that Moses saw the goodness of God. When you begin to doubt the goodness of God, here's a good piece of advice. Get to that place, Jesus. Because it is in that place that you will see the goodness of God. You'll see the goodness of God. In this place, it's not, oh, why do all these bad things happen to me? Poor me. No, in this place, you begin to see the goodness of God. He also saw the sovereignty of God. God said, I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. And Moses, I'll be merciful to whom I'll be merciful. In other words, Moses, I'm God, and I'll do whatever I please. And where is it that we see that? Where is it that we experience that? in this special place. When we abide in Christ, we see the goodness of God. When we abide in Christ, we see the sovereignty of God. We see the grace of God. We see the mercy of God. We experience these things. We experience the long suffering of God. You see, abiding in Christ, I see God. That's where we see God. And that changes our perspective of everything. That changes us. It changes everything. Abiding in this place. You see, it's abiding in this place that I have a proper view of all things. Sometimes our vision becomes skewed because we're not in the right place. You need to get to the right place and you'll begin to see things correctly because you'll see God. You won't understand everything, but you'll know that He's in control. And every single day of my life, there's a place. I have no idea what is going to happen tonight. I have no idea what is going to happen tomorrow with my life or with your life. But I know this. There is a place. There is a place. A very special place. Jesus Christ. And whatever happens, I can abide there. And it's there that I experience things that I cannot experience anywhere else. In the cleft of the rock, think about this, what Moses experienced. In the cleft of that rock, that was that special place. Jesus is our rock. Moses felt something very special. Again, many have preached against feelings so long, and now they're complaining that no one has any feelings. Well, make up your mind. We ought to feel God. There's something wrong with us if we don't. Moses felt something very special. In that place, God said in verse 22, He said, I will put thee in a cleft of the rock. I believe Moses felt that. Moved to the cleft of the rock. But then He says, and cover or blanket thee with my hand. So there's God holding His hand over Moses to veil, to protect Moses from God's glory. Do you not believe that when God held a hand over Moses, that Moses felt that? Certainly he did. Certainly he felt the shadow of that. Where was it that Moses experienced that? In that place. You see, today people want to get as far away from God as they can, and then when they need to feel Him, they want to be able to do that. It doesn't work that way. Because this place, God says, is by me. It's near to God. You can't just run out and wander from God and feel and experience what you can only feel and experience in this place. Moses felt the covering of God. It was in that place that Moses felt the reality of God. It's sad today how many of God's people, God's just a fairy tale. He's not real to them. He's not relevant to their lives. That's sad. But you know why it's so? Because for God to be real, you have to be in this place. You have to be in this place. This is where Moses experienced the reality of God.
Do you not think that when God put his hand over Moses, that Moses felt at that very moment the power of God? There is a place where I can feel the reality of God. There is a place where I can feel the power of God. That place is in Jesus Christ. I need to be in that place. I need to live in that place. I need to follow Christ's directions. Abide in me. Because living there, I live in the reality of God. I live in the reality of His power. And do you not believe also when God held His hand over Moses? It was at that moment that Moses felt the influence of God's presence. Where do you feel that? In this place. In this place that is by God. So there is a place. No matter what my circumstances are, there is a place. That place is Christ. And I have the opportunity to abide in Him, to dwell in Him. And it is in that place that I feel His protection. I feel His care. I feel His loving presence. And I feel the nearness of God. That'll make a difference in your life if you live in this place. It'll make a huge difference. Every day, there's this place. And every day I need to hear Him say, abide in me. You see, in the cliff of the rock, in that special place, Moses experienced something extraordinary. He experienced something that he could not experience anywhere else. You can't experience this just wandering out in sin. There's a place. This world often proves to be a place of darkness. But in the darkness, hear God say there's a place. There's a place where you can dwell. And you can experience, even in the darkness, you can experience the reality of God. The answer is not running from the place. The answer is running to the place. This world will prove to be a place of thirst. A place of hopelessness. You dwell in the world long enough, you'll become hopeless. But there is a place. There's a place where I can experience the reality of God. This world will prove itself to be a place of futility, barrenness, and failure. And perhaps you're living there right now. Perhaps you're living a life of futility, a life of barrenness, a life of failure. I remind you today, if that is where you are living, there is a place. There is a place. You don't have to live in the land of futility. Your life does not have to be empty and hollow. There is a place where you can experience the reality of God. You say, well, I haven't experienced that. It's because you haven't gotten to that place yet. You need to get there. You need to abide in Christ. This world proves itself to be a place of exhaustion. This world will wear you out. But there is a place where I can feel the reality of God. This world is a place of disappointment. Again, Moses comes down from the mount, and imagine the disappointment as he sees God's people lewdly dancing around a golden calf. Oh, the disappointment. And he said, God, show me thy glory. And the Lord said, there's a place. There's a place where you can experience that, Moses. People will disappoint us. We'll disappoint ourselves. And if you want to, you can live the rest of your life in disappointment. Or you can get to that place where you can rise above disappointment, discouragement. This world proves to be a place of fear. But there's a place. Don't you think Moses felt pretty calm when that hand overshadowed him? When he experienced the reality of God's presence, fear was gone. This world's a place of hurt, place of defeat, and turmoil, and affliction. But God says there is a place. It is a place by me. There is a place. There is a place where I can abide. There is a place where I can personally experience the life of God. That place is in Jesus. There is a place where I can experience the light of God. There is a place where I can find spiritual refreshment. So many today, they say they want to be spiritually refreshed, but they do all the wrong things. They go to all the wrong places. There is a place. There is a place where we can find refreshment. There is a place where I can have hope. There is a place where I find strength. That place is in Christ. There is a place where I find edification. I don't need men and women to build me up. We don't need edification from our fellow man. There's a place where I can find that. Where I can find edification. That place is the Lord. There is a place of encouragement. There is a place of joy. There is a place where we can be rejuvenated. It's in Jesus. There is a place where we can find rest. Where we can find rest. Again, I'm not preaching against anybody that goes on vacation. That's not my point. Please don't misunderstand me. You don't have to get away to find rest. You do have to get away to this place and you'll find rest. You know the problem? Many times when people want to get away from everything so they can find rest, there's one big problem. You bring yourself. That creates a problem. And you see, it's self that has probably caused most of your unrest. So you say, I'm going to get away, but I'm going to bring the person that has caused me the most trouble with me. And we're just going to sit and talk. Is that the solution? That doesn't make sense. But God says there is a place. And I don't have to drive however far. It's right here. There's a place. Jesus Christ. And He's accessible. There is a place, and in this place I find deliverance. I need to be delivered from myself. I need to be delivered from my own thinking. And there is a place where I find deliverance. There's a place where I find fulfillment. There's a place where I find contentment and peace. You're not going to find this peace anywhere else. There is a place where I find comfort. There is a place where I find courage. It's a special place. It's Jesus. It is a place of stability. It is a place of security. Our monetary system could collapse at any moment. Our government could collapse at any moment. But I'll have you know, there is a place. My security is not in the United States government or any other government. My security is in Jesus Christ. And there is a place. And it's Jesus. And it's there I find security. So thank God, there is a place where I can experience and draw from the love, the care, and the favor of God. In Christ, in that special place, I experience streams of living water that I cannot find anywhere else. Again, in our text, Moses was in a time of great need. And God spoke to him personally and said, "Behold, there is a place by me." You may be in great need tonight, and I assure you we all are. We need to hear God whisper in our ear, "Behold, there is a place by me." There is a place by me. There is no other place like this place. Jesus Christ. Do you want to see the glory of God? You say, "Oh, that'd be great." There is a place where that can happen. Do you want to see and experience the fullness of God? That's what Moses was asking. There is a place. There is a place where you can experience that. Do you want to be close to God? Well, you can't. There is a place where you can be close to God. That's Jesus. Do you want to know more of God? Yeah, I'm going to start taking a class. That's not the answer. The answer is to get to this place. This place where we can learn. Do you want to live in the joy of God? There's a place. If you're here tonight and unsaved, you are a violator of the law of God. What that means is that you are a criminal before God. What that means is you are a rebel against the authority of God. It means you're guilty before God. And it means that you are justly under the condemnation of God. That is you tonight if you're here without Jesus Christ. But hear God say, there is a place. There is a place by me. There is a place where the depraved, disobedient, defiled, and doomed can have life. There is a place. It's a God-provided place. There is a place where you can be justified. There is a place where you can find reconciliation and forgiveness and cleansing. You can't just find this in any place. You find this in Christ. You find all of these things. There is a place where the unworthy and the undeserving can find acceptance with God. There is a place. There's only one place, but there is a place. There is a place where man can stand before God and not be consumed. And that's in Christ. And you remember, you go back to the day that you were saved. And there you were. In Christ. And you found forgiveness. and reconciliation and justification and cleansing. And all the joy that filled your heart. Since then, many of God's people have forgotten the place where they experienced all of those things. And they've wandered from that place. And now they find themselves living lives of emptiness. They find themselves living just like everyone else. Which, by the way, is a miserable way to live. Because they've wandered from that place. There's only one way to overcome that. And that's get back to the place. Abide in Jesus Christ. You may be a prodigal today, but you need to hear the Lord say, there's a place. There's a place. Every time we get out of sorts, every time we get out of fellowship with God, every time we begin to wander, I believe if we would just stop and listen, we would hear God say, there's a place. You don't have to be there. There is a place. It is a place that I have provided. And you can dwell there. You can live there. And it is in that place that I experience the glory of God. The presence of God. So if that is not your experience today, there's only one conclusion. You're in the wrong place. Because there is a place where you can experience all of those things. That place is not Home Baptist Church. Home Baptist Church is a special place. All the Lord's churches are special places. But no, we're talking about a place that is extraordinary. We're talking about Jesus Christ. You see, you can join Home Baptist Church and still not experience the glory of God. There's only one place where you can experience His glory. And that's Jesus. This place. So I pray that we, whatever it is that we have to face, that those words would come to our mind. There's a place. There's a place. I don't have to go the many places that I go. There is a place if I just get there. And once we get there, we're to dwell. We're to abide there. That's where we live. And that ought to be our life. And the way to know if it is, do we experience the glory of God? Do we experience the reality of God in our lives? That tells us whether or not we're in this place. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.